Hi, everybody. It's Michelle, and it is July 4th, 2019. Happy Independence Day to all of our American friends. And I usually remember to not land on holidays that aren't in my country, but I did it this year. So many of you, I know you're listening to this in the recording, and this call has a really special place in my heart today. So I hope you're listening to us afterwards. And for Sergio and Sherry, who are here live, like, good on you for making it here. Sergio from Australia. Sherry, it's Independence Day. You're here anyway. Well done. So, and Mary Kay, you just arrived. Thank you for being here on Independence Day. So we're going to begin, as we usually do, in Shavasana. Find a comfortable place to lie down and align your body. So find that center line where the head, we say, you know, is your head screwed on straight? Can you have your head be straight? These things we can do. Let the head be straight. Let the shoulders be equally relaxed. Shoulder blades equally moving into the body as you're lying on your back on the floor. Let both sides of the back, both sides of the buttocks be equally relaxed. And are they evenly resting on the floor? So scan the body from head to toe. Are the legs equidistant from the center line? Sides of the feet hitting at the same place? Are the arms equidistant from the center line in low V, palms up position? Are the backs of the hands hitting the floor evenly? So as we begin in Shavasana today, finding balance, finding evenness, finding that center line. Feel ease in this moment when we find that balance. Goodness, I just realized I don't have my earphones plugged in, so you'll start to hear my voice, I hope, a little bit better. At least I'm not muted today. So when we find that balance, then we're not thrown off by things. The things arise and fall, forms arise and fall in our minds and in our world, and it doesn't matter. We stay centered. We might pull off center, and we come back easily. Shavasana teaches us this balance. Let the eyes be softly closed. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. This lets the mind become quiet. Feel the ears recede back as well, as though my voice were coming from a long ways away. Senses receding. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. Go inward. Watch the breath. How one-pointed is your mind today? Sometimes it takes a few minutes for the mind to settle down. Don't be disturbed by this. Just notice without judgment. And come back to center, to the breath, back to the breath, back to the breath as many times as needed, over and over again, returning to center. Watch the breath. What is there in this moment that is ease, that is rest, that is whole, that's beautiful? Watch the breath. dropping into that quiet state where all is well. Nothing needed. Just this breath here and now. And letting go of Shavasana as easily as you dropped into it. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the gentle movement of breath. Bend the knees. Roll to the right side. And keep your gaze toward the floor as you slowly, slowly press yourself to sitting, returning to our virtual circle, keeping that same sense of quietness, that same ease. And as always, camera on whenever you can so that we can actually be together in this space. And again, for those listening to the recording afterwards, bless you. So great to see you here. Go ahead and post in the forum after you watch this. I think Jasmine has been our poster person for doing that. So post your insights there, carry on the conversation in that other virtual arena. So returning to our circle. Camera on whenever you can. All right. I'm going to trust that. Oh, there we go. Mary Kay. Yay. I'm sorry. First camera on. For a moment, I glanced down. I'm like, wait, was I muted? That happened once, right? As I see you returning, I know you heard my words. Let's hear briefly what you loved here today. Who would like to begin? What was beautiful for you in your Shavasana today? Yeah, Mary Kay.
So I realized I didn't have to worry as much about my head being on straight, because that threw me off when you said that.
Then
I looked at you and your head didn't look all the way straight. And then
it's often not. Oh, well.
Then I thought, well, let's just see what happens if I don't worry about it. And then it was okay.
I love that. The teaching is not always the opposite one.
I don't know if it was straight or not.
I love that. I love that. As we're lying in Shavasana, I work to get my head straight. And then I even know this is the angle that my head usually, this is how it, not naturally, but the trained way that it falls, right? And so over and over again, over and over again, marking lots of papers at the university, writing, I'm left-handed. I love that. Letting go. Doesn't have to be perfect. I don't have to do all the pieces. And something beautiful can occur right here in exactly the way it is. Deep acceptance, no pushing away. Love that, Mary Kay. Yes. What else? Let's hear one more. What did you love in your Shavasana today? Yvonne, thank you.
It centered me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ease, centering, breath, alignment. And these things that we do, we didn't do it on the practical applications call. So you know, it's not always going to be the same. And yet it's also a practice. And it is important to have that consistency because doing it once doesn't really do very much. It's like going to the gym and doing bicep curls once. I'm going like, how come my bicep isn't any bigger? It's a practice and we learn more and more every single time we do it. And sometimes the learning isn't intellectual. Sometimes we don't quantify it. We might not speak the words about it, but it goes somewhere deeper into our being. It affects who we are and how we be in the world. I go to the I remember a couple of years ago, and it's happened more than once. I was sitting at the hot tub at the local swimming pool, and somebody said, "You must do yoga." And I was just sitting there. And they just struck up a conversation out of the blue and told me that I do yoga. And as far as I wasn't doing anything special, but how we inhabit our bodies, it starts to become a way of being, and it begins in Shavasana, and our presence is just different when we take this on as a practice. So really beautiful. Thank you. All right. So just a couple of brief announcements today. So our next call, this is our last call in the Loving Kindness series. And our next call is our second call in practical applications, and it is happening next Thursday, so a week from today. And one thing that is, and remember to post your questions over there in the practical applications forum. That's where I'll be looking for them. So look in Story Freedom Academy, practical applications, and Amy told me she put a button right at the top that says post your questions here. Right, so hopefully things should be easier and easier to find. And if you're having trouble finding things, we're still rearranging things in Story Freedom Academy. We're working on so many different projects in the company, so if you can't find something that you need, keep telling us. We're doing our best to make sure that we fulfill that, and we'll get things more and more organized for you. There's something that didn't happen years ago when the company when this community began, because we didn't have so many resources for you. Now we have so many things. I want to make sure you can access them easily. So more and more we're doing that, I hope, for you. Hopefully you're finding that true as well. We didn't even have the Facebook forum when we began. You don't need all these things when you begin. All you need is a phone and someone to talk to, and a strategy session, and something you do with them. So really simple. That's how this company began, and that's all you need to begin. All right, so practical applications next Thursday, and then something super exciting to announce to you, and I hope I have the piece of paper where I wrote down the URL. Yes, here it is. Okay, we now finally have a link for you, and I've been saying this is going to be coming up sometime soon. We have a link for you to put your stake in the ground and say, and I know, I'm pretty sure I'm speaking to the converted here, they put your stake in the ground. Sergio has already bought his flight and planning his itinerary in North America, right? But it's time for you to put your stake in the ground and say, yes, I'm coming to Story Freedom. And that allows us to count. We know how many people are in the room. That allows us to think of you specifically. As soon as your name is on that list, then I am thinking about you as I'm designing that course. I've taught it. I can't remember even how many times I've taught it, but we haven't done Story Freedom since 2017. So it's also going to be a whole new revolution in Story Freedom. I'm super, super, I have never been more excited to teach a 3-day event ever. I just realized that just as I'm saying it. And I've taught many, many, many 3-day events over many, many, many years. So the way that you put your stake in the ground is by a $97 no-show deposit. You get it back at the door, but that's how we really, that's how the rubber meets the road. We know you're actually coming, right? Because that's a $97 no-show deposit. You get it back at the door. And one of the things that one of my teachers taught me, as you are going into strategy sessions or whatever your conversations are with people who can take a leap into your work, you want to close open loops. If anything is undecided in you, there will be things that are undecided in them. That is one of the most important things that I invested over $50,000 to find out from that my teacher. So much way more than $50,000 invested with her and her teachings. And one of the most important things I learned was that close open loops. And so if I'm headed into a bunch of strategy sessions, and you all want to be doing that all the time, you want to be, yes, I want that flooring. Yes, I'm going on that cruise. No, I'm not going to mow the lawn today. Yes, I want to have coffee with you. And no, I'm not going to work on my will this week, but I'm going to put it in the calendar and I'm going to have somebody do it a month from now, etc. Because all those things hanging for you will just be hanging there in the strategy session. And they'll go, you'll be going like, I'm not sure. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? I'm not sure. That's the energy you're going to be encountering. So here's your chance to strongly put your stake in the ground around Story Freedom. I think I'm preaching to the converted here. And the URL to do that is storyfreedom.com/deposit. So again, it's a no-show deposit. You get it back at the door. It's $97. And when you have already put your stake in the ground and you said you're, and this is one thing I don't mind if you multitask. So if you want to do that right now, no problem. And once you've put your stake in the ground and we know that you're coming to Story Freedom, there's going to be some other really cool stuff that can happen and that I'm going to be announcing next week. And yes, thank you, Mary Kay, got that. And new things that are going to happen that you'll be able to do next week once you've got your stake in the ground, and you have to have your stake in the ground first. So I think that's it for announcements. Any questions about that? About how to do it? Again, it's storyfreedom.com/deposit. All right. It's a very simple little URL. And Amy just set it up for us this morning on July 4th. I'm so grateful to her. You've got great people behind you. I'm not in the U.S. She is. Thank you for our American sisters who are here right now. If you need to go, no problem. I understand. And hi to all those who are listening to this in the recording. All right. Questions. I think I want to jump into questions first once again, and because I want to make sure that your questions are always being answered, and I really strongly encourage you to just be asking questions every week. And if you're not, don't let your editor beat yourself up about that. But you can start anytime, right? And again, I think if Jasmine is our poster person for listening to the recording, going, "Oh my, I learned that," and like having us remember what's in that recording. I think Mary Kay is our poster person for questions. Thank you so much, and especially because you may have to drop off. Thank you, Mary Kay. So if I'm partway through your question and you need to drop off, I won't take offense to say I got to go now, and it's all good. All right. So let's begin there. Oh goodness. Yeah, I'm just gonna leap in. Post your wins in the Facebook forum. I think it's such an important ritual, but will somebody start a thread about wins? Who's going to do that for me in the Facebook forum? Anyone? Yes, thank you, Yvonne. Thank you. So let's do that over in the Facebook forum. So much I want to share with you today. So Mary Kay says, I listed 10 things that I could offer next. They are all iterations of my work. How do I deal with the overwhelm when I look at the list? The first thing I think of is like, stop looking at the list. It's not a thorough answer, but I actually do that myself. So I didn't think of it beforehand. I just thought of that in the moment. I couldn't help but share that with you. I'm eager to offer, but how do I choose priorities so I don't have too much I need to do all at once? Most of the work is partially ready. So how many of you here have a to-do list or want to make a to-do list, but maybe you haven't got to it yet, and you have more things on your plate than it seems like you can maybe do? You look like you've been Yvonne's. Anyone? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. So first I'll say, for a deep dive, you could spend a year long learning how to do this really, really well with my friend, Sarah Reif-Hecking. Mary Kay, I know you know her, and she does some really great work on managing our time and our tasks and the ways it work for our brains. So she's really freaking good at it. I've also been dear friends with her. We meet every week. The last time I talked to her was last night, I think it was, until, you know, it's my last call. It was just last night. And I'm talking to her again tomorrow morning. So I've been strongly influenced by her over 5 years. And so I can tell you some things from her court, and then I can tell you some things about Story that will help us answer this question. And my friend Sarah is going to be there, by the way. She's on the team for the Story Freedom event. She was last time around. She's an amazing soul. I would go there just to meet her, not to mention all the other things we're going to be doing there. Right? So Story Freedom. So I listed 10 things that I could offer next. I've got a list. How do I choose? The first thing I'm going to say is first off, you've got a list, so good for you, because you bothered to sit down and write it down. And I know that Sarah would be doing a happy dance. It's like, you at least need the list so you know it's not in your head, that you put it down. What are the things? We do some kind of brain dump so we know what are the possibilities, what are the things to do, or the possibilities on my in front of me. So that's a great step. Then for me, this question is always related to, where am I going 3 years from now? Where am I going 1 year from now? And I will build different things depending on what that vision is. So let me give a story example. I often refer to Star Wars these days. So Luke Skywalker is not going to get up off his butt and head out and save the galaxy as long as he's not thinking of the long run. right? And something down the way, and all it starts out with is Leia. He thinks she's hot, doesn't know that she's his sister, right? and he really, really wants to go save the girl. It's like a classic story, but he's got some desire. He's got something pulling him forward that comes from the future. It's a thing that he wants to achieve, right? And if he didn't, he could easily get clogged up with, there could be this or there could be that. I could do the chores on the farm. I could be doing, you know, and your list, Mary Kay, I know is more sophisticated than that. And Mary Kay, you took her boot camp. That's awesome. So, sometimes they're like private notes to everyone. And sometimes it's, I don't know if you guys even know that you send me private notes, but if you send it privately to me, like I try to notice this one was privately. Sorry, Mary Kay. I don't think it's a secret though. Hopefully it's not a secret. So, I don't want to keep Dr. Sarah's work a secret. She's amazing. So one place that you're going, presumably your list would be better than Luke Skywalker's at that moment. Right, of the potential things you could be doing. He might be wanting to work on the farm. He might be wanting to do the chores. And then one of them is go save the galaxy. Right? But when he has his eye on what he really wants, what truly matters to him, and what he loves. So we're in the loving kindness series. What do you actually love? Then that's the path through. That's going to be the path through. And so Mary Kay, let's open up, have you open up your line just for a minute, because it's a great question for everybody. Tell me a couple pieces. We could easily do a 2-hour deep dive into this, but we're just going to do like a couple minutes here. Tell me something of where you're going to be 3 years from now. Have you done that work? Like what's your company look like? What are you offering? How much money are you making? You share as much or as little as you want with a group here. But the more specific we are, the more we can, you know, we have something to play with, but general is fine too.
Well, it's changed from when right. I did it last.
Uh-huh, that happens, right? You're growing, your vision is growing as well. And I don't encourage you to change that vision every single day, because then we have like, you know, we're like this. But every now and then we got to check in and go, wait, is that even what I'm aiming for? So good. It tells me you're doing good work, right? So it's changed. From where you stand, it doesn't have to be perfect. What do you see now? What does your life look like 3 years from now?
Well, since I posed this question and started thinking about it before you started talking about it, something freed up, because I want to do loving presence with animals. Mm-hmm. And I've wanted to do that for over 10 years. I've been planning for it for over 10 years. Okay. I just haven't done it, because I related to my other question. One block is I thought I needed a really narrow audience, so I thought, well, I need to make it smaller. But I'm throwing away the rules here, and in 3 years I want lots of people to know about learning loving presence with animals.
Okay. Yeah. So, and let me just tell people what your other question is so they can hear it too. So Mary Kay saw the question, do I need a narrow audience? What if I just open my arms and offer with intention and loving kindness, loving presence learned through animals? Maybe this is part of my next step. One of my blocks is this lack of clarity in identifying this audience's problems. Do I need to know specific problems in order to let loose and offer this? All right. So what I want to do, because you're saying these two questions are tied. I want to give a bit more background, and then I want to come back to more about your 3-year vision, right? So I had somebody in a connection call. We're going to end up doing some work together. I'm really super excited about it. And she asked me about my work. And she said, well, what do you do? Do you help people with the story, you know, and the implied question was, so, you know, is it copy? So you help people write their web copy. Do you help people with talks? Do you help people with, and so in a way you could say, well, no, goodness, did I miss rule number one about business, because I haven't narrowed the focus, because there's all these different places where a story goes, right? So, and I think Mary Kay, you're running into a similar issue with envisioning who you're speaking to. So it's an ideal client issue. It's the issue of what your vision is for where you want to be. And that's why it could get confusing about which one to pick. Right? But here's the first answer, the tough love one is we can't address everybody. No one will hear. I still say that. You'll hear that out there, and we cannot do that. I can't talk to my dad and my daughter at the same time about whether to go for ice cream and do it really, really, really perfectly well. I can do it a lot better if I'm just talking to my daughter, for instance. And I would say, hey, you've been riding on the bike for an hour today. And it's, I know you don't particularly like hot days. It's a nice cool day today. And it's not a far walk. And you're a student, I'm paying, right? She's gonna go. And this is such important work around ideal client. If I'm talking to my dad, I'd say, listen, I know that you're lactose intolerant, and so you probably not want to come with us to the ice cream store because you're going to be afraid you're going to get sick and you got a sore knee. But listen, Dad, you know, I know you've been practicing with your cane this week, and the doctor said exercise is good, and I know that sucks. I hate that. But we always had so much fun when we used to walk at West Edmonton Mall together. And I think it's going to be fun if we go out. It's not going to be far. I'll carry you the rest of the way. I'm not actually going to carry him, but he would laugh. And this is the only ice cream shop in town that has a war wonton soup place right next door. Well, we're getting ice cream, Dad. You can go get some war wonton soup. Do you want to come? And I would have a yes clearly from both of them. If I need to talk to both of them at once, I can say, hey, it's a nice day. It's going to be more generic. Ice cream is yummy, and it's not a far walk. Which one was more compelling for both of them? Can you all? I've never used such. I think that's the best way I've ever illustrated that ever. If you heard that, raise your hand. I have never said that clearly before. Right? So, how do we do it then? It's like, how come I'm talking to the stories everywhere? We narrow the focus, but in different ways. You have to narrow the focus. It doesn't change. You do have to, but it might be in very different ways. So I don't know if it's loving presence with animals with everybody. I don't even think that it is for you, Mary Kay. So do you want to teach loving presence with animals to members of the Ku Klux Klan? No, you know that. So I thought it was everybody, Mary Kay, right? But I am pretty sure they are not first in your heart, even though you want love for everyone in the world, but that's probably not the first people you want to teach. So then, there's, you know, more than, I gave a ridiculous example because I was pretty sure that one was very clear cut. So you know more about who that person is than you think. How about to the, let's euthanize all the animals on the planet, Society of the United States. Do you want to talk to them? No, all right. So you, those silly examples tell me and us that you know more about who that person is than we think. And so we narrow in different ways. I don't narrow the focus. This is talking about the purpose and the audience. I'm sometimes going back and forth between the two, but they're interrelated. I don't talk just about how you write your copy, because I think a lot of problems happen with that. I was just helping somebody this morning with some copy on an about page. And if we don't really understand how stories work, and we're just trying to work on that copy, we miss the bigger picture and we won't even be able to do that very well. And that's what she was encountering. And so I helped her transform that. So the narrowing doesn't happen in around this story or that story. It's about how do you actually live that story for your company and for your life? How do you live it? And then also, how do you tell it in multiple different places? So what makes it narrow is that I'm also working with the inner world story and the outer world story. Nobody else does that I know of. Not in the way we do here. Nobody. So that makes the purpose very specific. And then my audience starts to become specific, your audience becomes specific, not in the way you might think, that it's got to be only people who work with horses, for instance. But there's still something more specific even about animals. So loving presence with animals, do you want to help the people who are feeding baby rats to whoever eats the rats at the zoo? And you want them to have loving presence with those rats. You also know that. But maybe you do, but you don't know. And I want you to decide who you want to reach first. It doesn't mean that it can't have a ripple effect later on. But who's the first person that you want to reach out to? And if you had that, the rat person there and the KKK person there and the, you know, euthanizers of America there, and you had one of your clients right now, You're going to pick your client. Well, what's special about them? Who are they, right? So I know we're talking about, and I love the open my arms and offer, but we're always solving problems, right? As entrepreneurs, we're solving problems, and they have a top of mind problem. So what's their top of mind problem? And then you can enter in with that. So you have to think about how do they think? Like what's mattering to them? And a little further down, they will want that loving presence with animals. You guys want to know more about story, but probably not when we first met. You didn't care. So if I said, I'm going to teach you everything about story, you probably wouldn't care, but I came in with stories that sell. I came in with one narrow focus, one piece that I thought you would probably want. And then we can do more. So we're kind of drifting between the two questions here, Mary Kay, but so I've got 10 things down that I could offer next. Where is it that I want to go? And that has to do with me making choices about who I want to reach first. And it's not about excluding. When I talk to my daughter specifically, it's not because I don't want my dad to come, but maybe I want to start with her because we live in the same house and it's easier to go to ask, invite her for ice cream first. And my dad has to drive 3 hours to get here for the ice cream, right? So I'll talk to her first. I'll learn how to deal with her first. And maybe I'll invite her friends along because they think kind of like she does. And then down the way, I can create different branches and maybe I can open out. And maybe when my dad hears it, he goes like, wow, I'm lactose intolerant. But, you know, this thing about it being a short walk that you said to Dana, I'm in too. Doesn't stop him from being in. Sometimes we're so afraid we're going to bar people from coming in. And your wide heart wants to not bar people from coming in. So it's about really radically making a choice for you and actually putting your stake in the ground. Who do I want to reach the most? It's about choosing who you want to be around first. So Mary Kay, like, who do you want to be around first? Start talking to me about the people you love to work with.
Right now?
Yep. Just for a minute or two.
Well, I did start with the horse people because that was, yep. So like what you say, I'm thinking, okay, I did start on the right track. Now I want to expand to... I was thinking I would expand to dog people, which I've already started to do. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so the bigger picture is 3 years from now, not now.
Yeah, if you can start thinking about, well, where do you want to land in 3 years? Then you can start building toward it. So years ago, I was working with writers, and I love working with writers, but I realized, so companies grow, right? I realized that it wasn't the fact that they were writers that was attracting me to them. It was that they had a vision. They had something they want to say. They really so much wanted to get the writers I wanted to work with. They wanted to get their message out there because they knew that it would change the world. Then I realized it wasn't the fact that they were the writers. You have something similar going on. It's actually that piece inside them that matters to me. Because I was at a writers conference and I was like, not really interested. And I went to an entrepreneurial conference. I'm like, I love everybody here, you know? Because they're heart-centered entrepreneurs. They really want to make a difference. They could be writers or photographers or, you know, weightlifters. I don't care. So I think that's what you've got going on.
Yeah, maybe I don't want to reach dog people next. I want to reach educators or I don't know.
So then I would be spending some time envisioning where you are, that ideal vision. We did some of that work at Quantum Leaps, right? In the Quantum Leaps series. So... what is that 3-year vision? What do I actually want really, truly for my life and my company? And here's the piece of how that fits together with the loving kindness series. We won't actually do that if there's not loving kindness for ourselves first. And even if you teach loving presence, probably especially because you do, that means that that's one of the hard things for you to do. So you got to put the stake in the ground for you first. And all the pieces of loving kindness series come into play for this. Because if we don't value ourselves enough, if we won't send that loving kindness to ourselves, if we won't, that's what Luke was doing. It's right in story, right? It's like, I don't really matter. My uncle says I've got to do this. I'm listening to somebody else's story. Sorry, I can't go. And there's something in him that knows his own value, that sends, you know, love for himself and for what he can, and knowingness of what he can do in the world that makes him. And then also for him, his aunt and uncle are crispy fried. He has to wait until it goes, like, let's not wait until it gets bad, right? Okay, I can't do that. Okay, I better go here. How about just going there and putting the stake in the ground and saying, this is the life that I want. This is what I choose. This is how do I build a company that I love? Like one of my mentors said, is because you love it all the way along the way. And also I would add that you add a vision of heading toward the thing that you truly love. It requires taking a stand for it. And it requires knowing that it matters. And it requires knowing that you have the possibility to choose. Stories are everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering stories you can choose. The essential message that's at the core of this company, you get to choose. But then the flip side is that, oh, you get to choose. It's up to you. You got to choose, right? But when you're looking at that list, you can't see the forest for the trees. You got to go to further out. Because when I was trying to decide, should I do podcast a few years ago, I couldn't tell until I was looking further out and seeing where I was aiming for. That was one piece of it. And what was I trying to accomplish by that thing, right? And so we're doing things in this company, for instance, you guys all know about the 10 by 10 by 10 club. It's shifting some of the things we do because I need personally to have time and space to be able to accomplish that. And there's something about a really broad reach. So that means we're amping up what we're doing with practical applications because that starts some of that broader reach. I like doing this with you guys, this deep, deep dive. But some part of me is starting, and this company is starting to do this. So I'm going to reach 10 million women and those heart-centered men who come along with us, right? Right? Who come along, who are engaged in this process together. I have to think that part through too. What does that look like, right? Then I start making different decisions about which things are in, which things are out. And that process started a year ago. I had Quantum Leap used to be live, but there's no time and space for it, even though people afterwards are going like, Michelle, we love it. You know, it's like Mexico, it's live, it's so wonderful. You know, I wanted to re-engage Story Freedom and let go of the live version of Quantum Leaps because of what I wanted to do down the way. So did that give you some idea of how to tackle this problem? I didn't tell you this or that. Nobody can do that but you. Did I give you some idea of how to tackle both
yes.
Answer to both questions? Is somewhere to go with that?
Yeah, that's really okay. Helpful.
Good.
For me, it's going to go down putting the stake in the ground.
What was that?
The key for me, I think, is going to be I need to put my stake in the ground. That may block that.
Exactly. And that's why we have a whole series on loving kindness. Without that, when I, like, at the heart of loving kindness and starting with myself first, one student asked a few years ago, like, okay, Michelle, in this whole series, what's the most important thing? On the spot, what I answered was that you start with yourself first. Because otherwise, I don't know how to hate myself and love another human being. I don't know how to do that. And I remember in The Secret, if you've seen that a couple of years ago, or many years ago now, and there's one scene where Bob Proctor, I think he does some great work on this planet, and he's going like, oh, you got to love yourself. He's like, I love myself. Have you seen that scene, right? America's shaking her head, right? So that might be a great exercise for you, Mary Kay.
Go for it, Mary Kay.
All right. What's the most important thing that you heard in that, Mary Kay? And then I want to hear actually from each of you. We've got a smaller group today by virtue of it being July 4th. So what's the most important thing that you heard in the answer to those two questions?
For me, it's put your stake in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my courses is called Do Something, and I need to do that myself.
Right. Isn't that how it always is, right? And you're going to hear that about today's material too. I'm like, oh, do we really need this? Oh man, I need this. And this company needs this. And every time I'm always evaluating and asking myself, and every time it's like, yes, this is what moves the needle. So I love that. You know, we need our own work, right? We teach what we most need to learn and enact and remember. So Mary Kay, beautiful. Yvonne, what did you hear for your company? What's in this for you?
One of the things that stood out for me was the sentence, how does my ideal client think?
Mm-hmm.
So really becoming that person and
yes.
Knowing them inside out.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And I was on in a strategy session yesterday and did, I sometimes do visualizations in strategy sessions. If you want to know how and why I do that, ask a question. I'm an open book, right? And don't always do them. Sometimes I do. And after, it was quite in-depth too. It just came to me. It was probably several minutes long. And when that person opened, she opened her eyes and she said, "That was it. 100%. You nailed it, right? That's exactly how I'm thinking. How did you know that?" And everything that we're learning all year long, all the pieces fit together to have you gain that skill. We do two pieces in around listening, the two pieces in the Letting Go series and Loving Kindness series. They're kind of matched pairs, right? Or of, listening and being listened to, and multiple pieces all the way along the journey allow us to actually step into the other person's shoes and feel what they're feeling and actually be able to listen and know what matters to them. And then we can, if we can't, how could we even possibly imagine that we can serve? If I go to Sergio and say, to name something really basic, if I say, "Okay, Sergio, if my company were in the state that was in a couple of years ago, yes, I don't know anything about you, but yes, I would love it if you just leapt in. And every meeting that we do is always in person, and I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So here, sign here," right? It's a very obvious example, but sometimes the obvious examples help us. I know nothing then about Sergio, not even the basic fact of where he lives. There's no way I can serve because I'm going to make dumb mistakes and assumptions. And that's a gross example, but the more subtly we can understand what's going on for that person, the better. And we can't do that if we're not doing that for ourselves. And thus, for instance, the Loving Kindness series. If we don't know what's going on inside of us, and we can't create loving presence, to use Mary Kay's words, right? Loving presence inside ourselves, in and for ourselves, to also let go of that fear, so we can take the steps that we need to take, then I don't know how to get anywhere, right? So and conversely, when we start from that place, we can connect with other human beings in a real way. Remember that acronym REAL? I was so excited when I made the word REAL in the practical application series. We make real connections with real people. We're really actually trying to serve, and we're actually really trying to solve real problems. And it sounds so basic. But it's right here in front of us. And in the jumble of messages out there in the business world, we can actually forget these very basic things. And then we need to learn how to enact them. And that's all of this year, right? In the multiple different ways that we interact, right? So beautiful, Mary Kay. And thank you, Yvonne. Yes, how does my ideal client actually think? I want to know them like the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter, right? And we'll do we'll dive into that in, what is it, part five, something like that, in practical applications. All right. Sherry, what's the one thing that you heard for your company?
I think what I heard was choose the item on your to-do list that you work next by the people you get to work with.
That is one piece of it. It can be, absolutely. Sometimes we're going to choose for different reasons, depending on what that goal is, but I'm going to make my offerings different. For instance, if I'm working with writers, or if I'm working, then that's the only kind of visionary I'm working with, or I'm working with visionary entrepreneurs in different areas, I'm going to make very different choices. I'm not going to attend the upcoming writers conference, for instance, probably. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I'm going to make different choices. My opt-in page isn't going to say, write your next book better or whatever it is. It's just, everything is going to be different. And then I can see what to do. I stand from over here and then I can see what to do. Yes. Thank you, Sherry. Beautiful. Sergio, what do you hear for you?
There's a lot. The main thing is to focus where you want to be in 3 years' time.
Yes. Thank you for underlining that. So important. If I don't know where I want to go, how am I going to get there? And if I don't know where I want to go, how can I possibly think in a strategy session, for instance, that I can help guide that other person to where they want to go and help them even name where they want to go? Because I can't name where I want to go. Again, those basics, right? Thank you, Mary Kay. That landed in you. You got it. I saw you see the importance of that. That's gold. That's worth the year if you've got ears to hear, because a lot of people don't get that. Thank you, Sergio. Beautiful. Marla, I see you're here. Are you in a place where you can speak? Okay, maybe not. And again, I'm aware it's July 4th. I'm so glad you guys are all. Oh, you are. You can speak. So what did you hear in this response to Mary Kay? What's one thing that landed for you?
I didn't get here in time to get the response, so I hear.
No worries. Okay, I can't remember exactly when you arrived, but you're here. Yeah. So glad to see you here. Thank you, and happy Independence Day.
Thank you.
All right. So just a reminder. Actually, let me think. How are we doing for time here? I was thinking of giving you some time to figure out what your questions are to post in practical applications next week, but I want to keep teaching. We're going to go into the content from here, and I'm just going to encourage you strongly, please post your questions. There's no question too small. If there's something stopping you from posting questions, if something gets in the way of you asking questions, ask that question. Michelle, I find it hard to ask a question, and I eked this one out. I took 10 seconds to write it, but I don't know how to carve out the time to ask a question. Michelle, I don't know what to ask, so, you know, could you help me with what I should ask? Michelle, I'm afraid that my question won't be important to the other people, so could you please help me with that inner story, with that's getting in my way? Michelle, I'm not even sure which project I should be focused on, and I'm worried that if I ask this question, it really should have been over there. Michelle, I'm worried that you'll interact with me and that maybe the question will look funny to other people. I'm a little self-conscious about being in front of people with my questions. Like, I don't know, those could all be things that could stop you from asking questions, for instance. Ask a question about whatever it is that's stopping you from asking a question, right? It takes 2 minutes. And I would really love to hear your questions. It really helps me. And if you think that was useful, what Mary Kay's question was useful to you, and you learned something that will actually move the needle for you, raise your hand. I'm just like, did something, everyone? Yes, and Mary Kay too, yes. I'm like, yes, right? So please go ahead and post. It's in service to others as well as you. And don't think it won't be. If you don't think it is, don't worry. I will connect it for people, right? It's not your job. You don't have to figure out why it's going to help other people. Right? That might be also another thing that's in the way. And if it's in the way of you asking questions, there's something in the way, like it's a not reaching out, and there's some aspect of a not reaching out that's happening elsewhere too. That's why I'm being a little bit belligerent in your face about asking questions. Yeah, if I'm not going to reach in, lean in here, if I'm not going to reach out here, there's some other part of me, probably, I'm not sure, but likely, that is, there's a little bit of a break somewhere else. And as you are asking those questions, it will help bust through there as well. If you heard what I just said and it made sense and you think that's important, raise your hand. Just checking, did y'all hear that? Yeah, good. Okay, good. All right. So in this series, where we've been, remember love or fear, remember the pale green pants, remember where am I actually coming from? And I remember it as Carly going like, okay, I really know I really want to come now from love, but I'm coming from fear. And even those micro moments, remember me and my ginger ale. I don't even want to show you my ginger ale. Like it happens to us. So how do we come from to know that that's the basis of it? And then, and often we diss it, like, oh, compassion, kindness, yeah, that's just that lesser known, just has been run along, not like those other things, but it's actually central to everything we're building. And so then we went into the metta meditation. How do we do this then? Remember, the Buddha sent the monks out into the forest, the scary one, the same place. We go straight toward the thing we're afraid of, right? That's one of those, I didn't underline that earlier, but we can go straight toward it, but be protected. And remember that the mind that is filled with loving kindness cannot be overcome by fear. If every entrepreneur really actually heard that and understood that, they'd be like doing meta meditations like their hair is on fire. Because as entrepreneurs, we do scary stuff. Do you get what I'm saying? We need to. So to have a power at our side of not being overcome by fear, that's incredible. And it's a practice. And remember Sharon Salzberg going, oh, you're such a klutz, but I love you. And she dropped the thing and broke it. You know, I keep forgetting what the thing is in the story, right? Dropped it. It's like, you're such a klutz, but I love you. That changes everything. Oh my goodness. No more fear, no more pushing away. Of course, it's still going to happen to us. We're human beings, but so much less, so much easier to turn it around. And what about when you're in all of those entrepreneurial situations, sitting down to write copy, talking to a prospect, talking to a joint venture partner, talking to somebody who can be on your team. I did that just yesterday and I was scared. I really wanted her to be on the team. She said, yes, I'm so excited. You're going to see this amazing woman on the team at Story Freedom. She just said yes yesterday. And we got to do scary stuff all the time. To have a mind that is not overcome by fear, so we take the actions we need to take, metta meditation, right? Then I said, well, how do we take it to the page? How do we take it to our words? So I get that, Michelle. So now I've got loving kindness. What am I supposed to do now? How does that apply in my business? Well, then we started crafting out, well, what is your ideal listener? Your ideal listener, your ideal audience, different words that we've used, your ideal reader. And that's so much bigger than ideal client. Ideal client is a subset of that. When we understand who our ideal listener is, remember the story about my TO1? He's my good listener from that amazing book by Helena Bennett on writing. And so when we can see who that person is, and actually did, oh yeah, and I asked you guys, will somebody remind me to solicit that from you? So how many of you did that exercise? You actually envisioned and spent some time writing out who your ideal listener is. And if you didn't, no shame. If you did, how many of you did that? Some of you did. How many of you are looking forward to doing that now that you remembered I suggested it? Thank you, Sherry, for that honesty. Thank you. That's everybody else. All right. Awesome. So I want to hear just to kind of catch us up with where we were. We often do a lot of work happens sometimes in the margins on these calls because it's not all that I'm aimed at. There's an energetic that we're creating. There's a foundation for story that we're creating. We're constructing who we are and how we be in the world and giving you lots of tools when I'm not always naming all of them, right? But we're building stuff all the way along, kind of sometimes in between, in the cracks, and not as just like ticky box, you know, check it off kinds of work so that it actually goes somewhere in our bodies and we can live it and use it. So, yeah, fantastic, Sherry. Love that. So I'd love to hear from Sergio. Mary Kay, you put up your hand. You said you did that exercise. Just a couple of sentences about how that went for you, and most importantly, what you gained from it. As always, there could be 5,000 things I didn't like, but here's the one thing I gained. Here's the one thing I gained. Here's the one thing I gained. I trained my mind that way. What did you love about it? What did you gain from it? Who wants to go first, Sergio or Mary Kay? Because I want to hear from both of you. I saw Mary Kay's hand first. I think it was almost a tie, but I'm going to go with Mary Kay and then we'll head over to you, Sergio. All right, Mary Kay.
Well, it changed my perspective. It changed the way I hold my body and it changed, well, something very close in with my family. I'm looking at this afternoon with the putting off fireworks and stuff, totally different with my family coming over with my grandchildren. And instead of just sitting back and just doing whatever, I have a couple of cool things to do with sparklers that no one's ever done.
And do you think that, not to mention enriching Mary Kay's life, obviously, do you think it might have a ripple effect on her business? Who thinks that? Just intuitively, you know that it's so.
Clearly, of course
it has. Yes. It's a fabulous way to spend 20 minutes. And we do so many other things. We work with web designers. We're writing our book. We're posting on social media for what, you know? And I'm not saying those things aren't useful, but all things in the right order as we learn in practical applications, this exercise is at the heart. This is where we start. Beautiful. Sergio, how about you? What did you love about it? What did you gain from it?
It's a clarity on who I connect with, people who are on a similar pathway. They're in some way they're open and they're developing themselves and they're changing.
Thank you. And you know, we're going to have some overlap, all of us, in who that ideal listener is. And there's also going to be something very unique. Your ideal listener is unique and different from anybody else's on the planet. How you conceive of that person, who that person is, how you interact with them, Sergio. So thank you for that. And then we're going to have some overlap. And after all, there's going to be resonance here. You all decide to be in this community. There's some overlap in how we think about and think about the world and see the world, right? By virtue of being in this community, it's of course going to happen. And as human beings, there's going to be some overlap. And what you're saying, Sergio, again, for me, points back to the question I was answering for Mary Kay. Well, do you want to do that for the KKK? Do you want to do that for the rat haters of America, right? Or whatever it is? And people who are on a path of change, a transformational path. So here's my animal, my stupid animal has every single animal that I've ever had. I hate them because they're always doing that same thing. Will you please stop them from doing that, Mary Kay? That's not your ideal client, I'm pretty sure. but they have an animal, and you want to, and don't you want love and presence for everybody on the planet? But so you know more about who that person is. And that exercise about ideal listener is going to tell you about your ideal client too. It's bigger than ideal client. It tells you something about people you like to be around. I like being around you guys. I think each one of you, you are amazing to me. And you all have qualities of my ideal listener, right? So really, really beautiful. Yes, thank you. Okay. So that's a bit of a review, remembering where we've been. Let me see. What's the best thing that's happened for you, Sergio, in this? So that's the thing that you, that's your aha about it. And then what has happened in the concrete world? And you might even not even have noticed anything in the concrete world, but I bet it's happened, or maybe you've noticed it a lot. So I want to enforce that habit, or just reinforce that habit of, wow, I have this insight and it moves something in my world, actually really, truly in the material world. So what happened in your world because of it, Sergio?
Well, there's a positive, I know who I want to connect with, and then there's the other side that I know the people I don't want to connect with.
Now, our people that are difficult, there are sometimes our very best teachers, right? But I bet, for instance, that you're the person who, that your supervisor, I forget the language in your particular college, right? But is probably not your ideal listener.
That's right? What I was thinking of.
Thank you. Yes. So understanding, where do I want to spend my life? Who am I going to spend my life with? Who do I want to gather around me in the work that I do and in my personal life and in my world? It creates, this exercise is foundational, creates a whole different life trajectory, this one 20-minute exercise. Thank you, Sergio. Beautiful. Yeah. All right. So so that all sounds really great. And then moving into the material for today, and I got to tell you, as I hit the material for today, because so I want to be really real here, you know, because like, so this sounds good. And then we bump into stuff. I bumped into stuff this morning. Is it okay if I share that with you? It's like, but probably too much information, but are you okay? You okay if I share something personal? All right. So this, Yvonne's especially grinning. She's like, I'll bring it on, Michelle, you know? So I can see it. You heard, you know, over the years, more than one of those stories. So let me give you the title of today's call first. An hour here into our call. I love that the title only comes like later on. Beauty and love, two essential ingredients for success. Beauty and love, two essential ingredients for success. Now, I was hitting this morning. I did my yoga practice. I was really happy. I did some work with someone and we did some fabulous work and she was outrageously happy and all that's good. And, you know, sounds really good. And then I'm noticing that more of my day happens too before these calls. It used to be at 9:15 in the morning. Not as much had happened, right? And part of the thing, my daughter's at home this week. She's got her a week off from work. And we had a horrible fight this morning. It was awful. It was one of the worst fights we've had in ages, right? Just because, and I wanted to share that with you too, because just because we do this stuff doesn't mean real things don't happen, right? We don't walk on water. Maybe you guys do. I don't know how to do that yet. If you learn how, let me know, okay? I don't walk on water. We don't walk on water. We don't, like, you know, stuff happens in our lives. It's okay. Right. And what happens in our personal lives is connected with what happens in our business lives and so on. Like, it's all, to me, it's all interrelated. Right. And so then, you know, we're fine now, by the way. My daughter and I are amazing. And all it takes is a word. It's like, I'm really sorry we're fighting. Can we stop now? And she's like, okay. And we, you know, give her a hug and we're all good. And then we're figuring out plans, you know? So, and that comes from many, many years of experience. It's really super cool. But that wasn't where I was earlier this morning. And so then I go to the material for today. I knew what the material was today. And really, truly, it's okay if I swear. I'm like, oh, shit. I don't want to teach that. Beauty, are you freaking kidding me? Nothing is beautiful right now. And I'm like, oh, right. Got it? That's why I need to teach this. That's why this still matters. That's why I've been teaching this for many, many years. And every time, everything gets tested out again. I don't just by rote leave something in. If there's something that needs transforming, if there's something more important, that's what's going to appear. I have never known so strongly the importance of this material is this morning by my reaction of dvesha, absolute aversion, like, no way. And in the state that I was in, I'm like just pissed off at my daughter. I'm like in a bad state, right? And there's no beauty anywhere. Of course there isn't. Now, how's that going to work if I'd come in here in that state? You know, like things move through me pretty quickly, but everything still happens to me, right? But they move here so very quickly now. And there's things that I know to do to create that empowering story and to turn very quickly. For one thing, I don't require myself that I turn very quickly, but still it happens. Let myself be in those places. And then let's say I stayed there. What happens to my teaching? What happens when I needed to walk right from there into helping out that person? We had an outrageously wonderful call right before this one, right? But what happens to me if I remain in that state? What happens to my company? What happens to my vision? What happens if Mary Kay were in that state and then she tries to envision 3 years from now? How is she going to be able to do it? Right? Now, tell me I'm not alone. Have you ever had an argument with anybody before? Anyone? Is it just me? Okay, thank you. Right? So I'm not alone. All right. So there I was going, beauty, shit, I want to do that. Oh, man. Okay. It's really important. So why is it so important? Beauty and love, to essential. I don't mean extra. I don't mean on the side. I don't mean like a has-been quality. Two essential ingredients for success. And so telling that I didn't want to focus on it at all when I was in that mind state. I didn't want to teach it. I wanted to find some other material I could teach you. I could pull out something you guys wouldn't know. All right. Some of you would know. You've been here before. I just decided this is better. You know, like all that would have been false. I couldn't do it. But if I did, it would be a disaster. So, why is it so important? Beauty. Well, let me just share with you a couple of things just to consider. It's central to our myths. Think Beauty and the Beast. Right? It's central to creativity, beauty. It's central to who we are and how we play on this planet. As my opposite, when we know what we don't want, we turn 180 degrees to what we do want. Right? As my opposite example suggests. Who we are and how we plan this planet, beauty. It's central to our success. And I want to share with you a couple of different stories in and around beauty, because I really, by today's call, you hear why this matters so much, and you start to look for beauty and create it everywhere, then I've done my job for today's call, all right? So I want to share with you another personal story, but I published it. It's a best-selling book, so it's like it's out there in the world. And this was in a collection I did with Sandra Yancey and collection I was in. And it was a book about success, succeeding through doubt, fear, and crisis. And the story that I ended up telling in that book was about something that happened many, many years ago. And it was at a really hard time in my life with my then partner, with Dana's dad. I'm going to tell you this story because I think you'll hear it's another angle on why this is so important. It was a really hard time in our lives. My partner's dad was dying painfully of leukemia. And, you know, by the time he weighed about 80 pounds or whatever, by the time he died, I was working on my PhD and we had a small daughter to take care of and had like all kinds of that and so many more pressures on our lives. And it was a difficult time. And I was sitting with a friend who I've known since I was 4. And I just lost it. I was just in a really bad state, and Dana was tiny, and she was playing in the next room. And what my friend said to me, because she knew me really well, and now the way she said it, I don't completely agree with, but there was something that she said was really important, because I just felt like nothing could go anywhere. It was the opposite of where Mary Kay is. It's like I couldn't envision anything, like all the world had just stopped. Felt like nothing was ever going to be right again. And there were the things that were really wrong in our relationship and in my relationship with my partner. And my friend said, he's made you forget how beautiful you are. He's made you forget how beautiful you are. Now, the thing I disagree with was, he didn't do that. I did that to me. You know what I'm saying? But when she said that, it just hit me so deeply. If we don't know how beautiful we are, whatever that is to you, how can we help anybody? there was just stagnation. There was just no vision. There was just, I didn't know how to move from there. Beauty, central to our success, our vision of the world, of what we can see. And if we're going to be able to see it in ourselves, sometimes we start from ourselves and then it moves out to others. Sometimes we start with that ideal listener and we envision. Do you get that we're envisioning the beauty in them that reflects the beauty in us back to us? If you understood that now, as I'm saying it, raise your hand. Did you get that? Yeah, when we envision that ideal listener, all of a sudden the person we end up seeing is ourselves and therefore our company and therefore what we do and how we can contribute. And then, of course, the other person in front of us when we're in a strategy session can see it if they're the right person, for instance, right? So how are we going to see all those? How do we see that in that ideal listener, for instance, and we understand how central that is? How do we see the beauty in them that reflects a beauty back in us? Well, by seeing it in the world. By seeing it in the world. And remember, I start out in Shavasana. What was beautiful for you today? I won't say it like that, right? But what did you love there? Love and beauty, and they're connected. So I want to hear what stuck out for you, just one of you or two of you, very briefly in a sentence or a half sentence. So I know what you're hearing in the story about beauty so far, Sherry.
So I think what I really heard is that we get a reflection back to us of the beauty in ourselves when we listen to other people.
Mm-hmm. And when we listen differently to other people, right? Do you remember Marie envisioning all of her family, not so supportive family, as her readers without meaning to?
Yes.
We envision other people in this way. Yeah.
And I had that experience happen, I think, 2 days ago in the grocery store when someone I had worked with 2 years ago, I think, in a strategy session came running up to me. I didn't recognize her. She was totally transformed. And she said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, after she introduced herself, and I said, "Yes." And talked about that and how that experience was transformational. I mean, an hour together was transformational for her. And what I really got was the beauty in me, the difference I make, that I was having doubts about. Mm. So she gave me back me, which, so yes.
Yes, and in this, you're starting to see how dynamics of this whole loving kindness series works and why it's so powerful for a company and how most people out there, I think, in the entrepreneurial world are just missing. This is so foundational. It makes everything easy. It makes everything fun. It brings back the beauty in our lives, because when that person's reflecting that back to us, and then, you know, then we're in a conversation with somebody else who could enter into the work, and it just becomes a part of who we are. We just see it automatically. I made an offer this week. I don't know. Sometimes we're sometimes it's in one phone call. Sometimes it's mid process. I don't know if this person's going to take that offer or not. I really don't. But my feeling actually is just compassion if they don't, because if I made that offer, I really know. I wouldn't make the offer if I didn't know what could be possible. And can you see the strength that comes from, like, the deep confidence? And that comes from that being reflected back continually. And again, how do we do that? So first, the meta meditation, then the ideal listener, and then we move it out to the world. Because if we see it everywhere, how are we going to miss it in that person in front of us? Don't start with the enemy. So Sergio's not going to start with that person who's the supervisor or whatever. Don't start there. That's way too hard. We can get to that place. We can. I promise you. I don't use that word lightly. We can get to the place of seeing the beauty in that person. I promise you, from my very direct personal experience, that's possible. And I didn't believe it was possible, and it is. This is not just possible. It's amazing. But don't start there. Don't start there. Start with where it's easy. I love my daughter, but not every moment. In that moment, that wasn't the person that, you know, I would pick as my person that I'm close to and is easy with. In that moment, it's like, argh. But we come right back into love. And so what if I can see it in the world around me? Then I see it in that person. They reflect it back to me. I'm speaking from stage, or I'm networking, or whatever. The whole thing just starts to become playful and beautiful and fun instead of that chore that I'm, all these things I'm supposed to do because people tell me I'm supposed to go network and tell me I'm supposed to speak from stage and I have fear and dread about it, but oh, I better do it because those are the things all dragging and hard. This makes it easy. Let's hear from one more of you. What have you heard so far? One more. What did you hear from these stories so far? Yeah, Mary Kay.
I'm going to start by saying, well, I'm a little hesitant because this, I'm thinking this is going to sound weird, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Because thank you for that.
I think it's important just for me to say it out loud. I have always seen beauty in any animal. I can, so that's the easy place. And it was hard for me to see it in people, but then through all the work I've been doing in the past 10 years or so, I learned I can see it in people and I could see it in almost anyone. Mm. And, you know, if I purposely try to, I can do that. And then I realized just now, this is my aha, that it was hard for me to, it is hard for me to see it in me because I don't consider myself an animal. I'm a human.
Yeah. Beautiful. This is huge. This is huge. Thank you, Mary Kay, for sharing this. And I'm not sure, this would require deeper investigation about who you really truly want to work with. But sometimes we work with earlier versions of ourselves almost. It's not that, it's not an early, like in terms of the problem that's being solved, okay? It's not like we're all unique individuals. But so it might be the person that you, that is your ideal client might be liking or might be opposite to you, all right? So, but they might be like you in that, then the copy is going to fall out from that, but you need to decide who you want to work with. Ever find it's easier to, because you're addressing the person, ever find it's easier to talk to relate to your animals than the people around you? You know, like that might be that it's some kind of that sort of copy. That might be who you're working with. And in this exercise of finding beauty, all of a sudden something gets spit out is kind of a funny word to use, but just like, you know, it's just right there. About Mary Kay's ideal client. And we can do those exercises in around ideal client until we're blue in the face, and we'll get to the depth of where we just got to with Mary Kay coming at it in this door in and around beauty. If you understood what I just said, raise your hand, because that was really super cool. Yeah, okay, you guys got it. Good.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Isn't that fun? All right, so... beauty. I just want to share with you a couple more pieces in and around beauty. And because I know you'll hear this, and I love weaving together a story from other people's stories. And it helps us understand from different angles why this matters, how to implement it, where it shows up. And we just have, you know, a number of very strong places where it shows up, right? But one of them here, right in the ideal client, or in Sergio's connection with his supervisor, or not, or where he's going to look first to connect with people and with ideal clients and so on, right? Again, ideal client, just a subset of the ideal listener. When we understand ideal listener, we'll get ideal client. If we try to work at ideal client, we're not necessarily going to understand the ideal listener, and we might not get ideal client either. All right, so this is from a book by Don Miguel. I gotta find out how to pronounce his last name because I've been reading his stuff for years. How do we say it? However you say his last name, you know. Some of you probably know. I read it all the time, but I read it to myself and I go, oh wait, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Anyway, this is, you know, he's written The Four Agreements. So that's a book you may know better. And this is from The Voice of Knowledge. And it's chapter 10, 165 in my version. And this connects, like, why are we talking about love, Michelle? I thought you were going to teach us about story. I don't detect any of that from any of you, all right? But how are love and story connected? And of course, he starts his chapter. And so, of course, I want to share with you. He says, writing our story with love. Life as an ongoing romance. What is the best way to write your life story? There's only one way, and that way is with love. Love is the material I use to write my story because love comes directly from my integrity, from what I really am. I love the main character of my story, and the main character loves and enjoys every secondary character. I'm not afraid to tell you I love you. In the moment of my daughter, and I'm all, argh, I didn't feel like saying I love you. As soon as I came into beauty, it's like, oh, I could say I love you again. I'm not afraid to tell you I love you. Your mind may say, how can you love me when you don't even know me? I don't need to know you. I don't need to justify my love. I love you because this is my pleasure. Love coming out of me makes me happy. And it's not important if you reject me because I don't reject myself. In my story, I live in an ongoing romance and everything is beautiful for me. Love coming out of me makes me happy, and it's not important if you reject me because I don't reject myself. In my story, I live in an ongoing romance and everything is beautiful for me. It starts to connect together a bunch of the threads of where we've been over the last number of weeks in Loving Kindness series. What do you hear here? What do you love here? What stays with you? Because we're doing it again. Oh, what do I love here? What's beautiful here to me in this piece of writing? And it's quirky, it's individual, it's your own, and it's not a test. Oh man, I might not get it right and then I'll look bad and I don't love myself. No, whatever I say is really important and really meaningful. And I know other people are going to hear me. What did you hear here? What did you love in what he had to say about love and story and beauty? What stays with you? Yeah, you're fine. I heard the, yeah, I'll go for it.
Yeah, well, the one thing that just keeps popping in my head, so I guess I have to say it, is love is everywhere. Whether we see it or not.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's the key. Yeah, yeah, thank you. I'm even writing it down. Whether we see it.
Or know it or not.
Yeah, or know it or not. Love is everywhere. What if you entered into your next strategy session knowing that? And the person is saying, that's too much money. Why should I work with you? The person down the street. Or you're worried that they're going to say those things. No, you're not. Because a mind filled with loving kindness cannot be penetrated by fear. And, or cannot be overcome by fear. And there might be 10 things that they're saying that are really hard to hear in the moment. Because if you didn't know the integrity of your work, you might be threatened by that. They don't like this, they don't like that, they don't like that, but there's one thing they said that you really like, and you pick up on that, and the conversation goes there. What if it's about even approaching that person at all to have a strategy session? What if they say this, but I don't know, but there's one thing in them that I see that's beautiful, and one thing in my world that I see is beautiful, and one thing in my program that I see is beautiful, and all those conversations are so much easier. That moment that you've heard in other contexts when I was on stage and my teacher had said, oh, Michelle, so you're here because that, this and that happened. And it wasn't at all what happened to me. In that moment, there could be a lot of pushing away, but embracing it all. This is beautiful too. What a great opportunity to be able to think on the spot and do no harm to anybody and actually move forward. Why we're here sharing these stories on this panel, landed beautifully. So encompassing it all, yeah, love is everywhere, whether we see it or not. Can I form a habit of seeing it? And when I see the beauty around me, I feel it, I see it, I know it. Okay, a couple other places, because I just want this not as head knowledge. If it's head knowledge, if it's a sentence in our books and it doesn't go anywhere, if we don't get it in our bones, nothing is going to move. So let me share with you a different writer, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. You all know his work? I was following his work long before Oprah made, he was on Oprah and then everybody was following his stuff. And many years ago, one year I was so impressed by his work, I just gave everybody in my family Eckhart Tolle books for Christmas. It probably wasn't very thoughtful because they might not want to. Imagine my dad. I didn't give it to my dad, Yvonne, my dad, but my mom. The Flowering of Human Consciousness. This is the beginning of this book. Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. This is relevant for Mary Kay. What's my life's purpose? What's my company's purpose? What do I envision 3 years from now? And how do we do it? Here's a whole book on it. And where does he start? Where does he start his book if I'm trying to find my life purpose and I'm not even going to be able to sort out my to-do list if I don't know what my life purpose is? And where does he start? Strangely enough, with an evocation, The Flowering of Human Consciousness. Earth, 114 million years ago, one morning just after sunrise, the first flower, what's he doing talking about flowers? The first flower ever to appear on the planet opens up to receive the rays of the sun. Prior to this momentous event that heralds an evolutionary transformation in the life of plants, The planet had already been covered in vegetation for millions of years. The first flower probably didn't survive for long, and flowers must have remained rare and isolated phenomena, since conditions were most likely not yet favorable for widespread flowering to occur. One day, however, a critical threshold was reached, and suddenly there would have been an explosion of color and scent all over the planet, if a perceiving consciousness had been there to witness it. Much later, those delicate and fragrant beings we call flowers would come to play an essential part in the evolution of consciousness of another species. Humans would increasingly be drawn to and fascinated by them. As the consciousness of human beings developed, flowers were most likely the first thing they came to value that had no utilitarian purpose. That is to say, it was not linked in some way to survival. They provided inspiration to countless artists, poets, and mystics. Jesus tells us to contemplate the flowers and learn from them how to live. The Buddha is said to have given a silent sermon once, during which he held up a flower and gazed at it. After a while, one of those present, a monk called, a monk called Mahakasyapa, began to smile. He is said to have been the only one who had understood the sermon. According to legend, that smile, that is to say, realization, was handed down by 28 successive masters and much later became the origin of Zen. Seeing beauty in a flower could awaken humans, however briefly, to the beauty that is an essential part of their own innermost being, their true nature. The first recognition of beauty was one of the most significant events in the evolution of human consciousness. The feelings of joy and love are intrinsically connected to that recognition. Finding my life's purpose, he starts with a flower, he starts with beauty, he starts with what that is for the evolution of human consciousness, and certainly I would say personal evolution as well, seeing all of who we are and all of what we're capable of, which is so much more than we think. And it starts with a flower. And in case, and I don't think there's anybody here with that energy in them, but in case you go, okay, Michelle, but I got a business to run. Well, what does this have to do with running my business? I got to get back to it. A few pages later, page 26. Let me see. Did I get the right page? Hang on. Did I? Yes. Okay. He's talking about the beauty in other things too. So we can start to see the world around us through these eyes. And it's a practice. We just decide to. You do it once, then you do it again. And we're doing it every single time we start this call. Always beautiful for you here. Because it's a practice. It doesn't happen just with once. We choose to form our consciousness in this way. And not with some surface, oh, I like that, but I really hate it. I'm going to tell you the real thing. At that moment when I was fighting with my daughter, I didn't like that. I didn't want to see beauty anywhere. I'm going to work my way back to it because I know it matters, changes things. So he says, even a stone and more easily a flower or bird could show you the way back to God, to the source, to yourself. When you look at it or hold it and let it be, without imposing a word or mental label on it, a sense of awe, of wonder arises in you. Wonder, awe, beauty. Isn't that what you want people to feel when they come, when they encounter your work and the possibility of it for them? As entrepreneurs, it's essential that we tap in to these feelings. That's what moves people, right? Its essence silently communicates itself to you and reflects your own essence back to you. It's what we've been talking about, right? Oh, beauty in me, the beauty in that ideal listener reflected back at me. Then I see the world differently. Then I'm in a strategy session with somebody and I'm going to see that. I'm going to see the beauty in them. I'm going to see the beauty of the possibility. Everything is so much easier. And it's so much bigger than that too. This is one very small application of this way of seeing and being in the world. And then here's, if you want a business application, this is what great artists sense and succeed in conveying in their art. Van Gogh didn't say, that's just an old chair. He looked and looked and looked. He sensed the beingness of the chair. Then he sat in front of the canvas and took up the brush. The chair itself would have sold for the equivalent of a few dollars. The painting of that same chair today would fetch in excess of $25 million. I see the beauty in that thing. It brings me back to something childlike, something innocent, something of the wonder in this world. I see it in my ideal listener. They reflect that back to me. I enter into conversations, whether it's networking or speaking joint venture partner or team, it's all conversation. And that is what's happening. That's what I've got my eye on. And that is highly attractive as well, because it's not what tends to happen out there. Everybody is, so many people are operating out of fear. Networking, for instance. And if you understand what I'm saying, when you walk into a room and then the fear is palpable, even as people are, there's ego then too. If you understand what I'm saying by that, that's not how people are usually operating, raise your hand. Do you get that? So then what a standout quality it is to come from this space, the power that this brings, not for power over somebody else. You can't also, it has a kind of, you know, evil person barometer in it, right? This is, you know, maybe the evil people, whoever they are, were thinking in that way too. I don't know, but I can't envision the mind being like that, because it's so much fear, so much pushing away, so much and so on, right? Whoever that evil person is, right? But in the best of the evil side of us, maybe, right? Whatever that is, but the best of us. And I can see that and feel that in, I start with a metta meditation. I know that that's even my aim, that I want to come from love, not fear. I use the metta meditation as a way to cultivate that in my heart, so that I say, oh, you know, you're klutz, but I love you. It's my automatic reaction. It's not a veneer affirmation, surface level with a sea of negativity inside us. That's how most people are walking around, think networking, right? It often happens that way. Instead, we do it differently. And then I envision my ideal listener, they listen to me in a way that has me seeing myself and therefore my company. I am not my company, but it emanates from me. And it emanates from my values. If it's the right company, it emanates from everything that matters to me. It emanates from who I am and what I envision, like Mary Kay's question, is possible for me and my company down the way. But what I see, that bigger self of me, more and more of me showing up, more and more of my company showing up a couple of years down the road. Then I can envision that in all its detail. I'm not afraid to, because I know the beauty inside myself. And I know that that can create those things. And I see the beauty in everything around me. I bump into something, I don't care, because I'm going to see the beauty anyway. Something doesn't go my way, oh well. And then I have the real, not just possibility, but probability, not probability, but it has to happen. That thing that I so long for. And I'm not clinging. I'm not just yearning without hope and despair like Luke. I can't go do that. I just freaking go do the thing. And I have the conversation. And I have so much more fun in it as well, because I'm just seeing the beauty everywhere. In that person, in me, in my company, in the offer, in their yes, in their no, whatever it is. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mary Kay. See you soon. Have fun with the sparklers. All right. That is the essence of today's call. Beauty and love, two essential ingredients for success. And that is the wrap up for this series, and a great jumping off point for now practically applying it in all those areas in our practical application series starting next week. And feel free to ask a question that might emanate from here, but that connects with the practical applications material, or whatever question is in you. Go ahead and ask that for our next call. Remember to register for Story Freedom. And I don't have it right in front of me. What was it? Oh, storyfreedom.com/deposit. It's a $97 no-show deposit. And once you do that, next week, there's going to be another opportunity. Once you're already registered, you get it back at the event. It just puts your stake in the ground. You want to put your stake in the ground. And when there's lots of, you've already invested in it. Now come, please, so I can help you. 3 days of a deep, deep dive. Look how much we accomplish in a couple of hours. What we can do in 3 days, it's off the charts. It's amazing. As I say, one of the participants last time around, she said, I got my money's worth in the first 45 minutes. So please put your stake in the ground. Let us know you're coming. I'm thinking about you then. And let's wrap up this call. So storyfreedom.com/deposit. And then let's wrap up this call. What's your aha? What did you see this beautiful here for you, right? What's the opening for you, like those flowers? What's your aha? What's your inspired action so that we're actually doing something with this, bringing this out into the world, making a change, making it real? So Sherry, you're up first.
So what I heard is that it starts close in with yourself.
Yes, thank you for hearing that.
Loving yourself positions you to recognize and accept the love outside and mm-hmm. go where the love is.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, it's so pervasive to do the opposite in Western culture. The Dalai Lama once, you know what, you don't think much of yourself? What, you don't love? And he started asking around, he actually cried at an event. because he didn't understand how pervasive the opposite was, but everybody started raising their hand in the audience, well, actually. So to do this is a radical act in the Western world. Thank you, Sherry. And then what's your inspired action?
To do the ideal listener and ideal reader, to really sit down and get it done.
Yes, starting to see even more why that matters so very much, right? Thank you so much. Beautiful. Marla, you're up.
Pretty much the same thing. It's that really going deeply into who my ideal listener, ideal client is, and then connecting that deeply to who I am.
Beautiful. And then what's your inspired action?
To go into who my ideal client, ideal listener is.
Right. Okay, so it's an action. Yeah, I'm just trying to look for a check-offable action, so I know you've done it. How are you going to go into it? Are you going to write it up, or are you going to?
I'm going to write it up.
You're good. Yeah, great. Just so it's a check-offable action, so I know it's a concrete action. We can see that it has been done. Beautiful. Thank you. Love it. One thing I want to add, too, is like, when we see beauty everywhere, we can see it more easily in that ideal listener in ourselves. So where else is there beauty? Is it in a flower for you? Is it in the geese every year, like the baby geese at the pond, you know? There's rabbits over by like where the gym where I work out, and there's like often like a dozen of them out there, and I go and see them. It's amazing. All these baby wild rabbits, I don't know what they're doing there. It's amazing. And these are such simple childlike things, like, Michelle, but I got a serious business to run. But when we know why it matters, all this, like life just becomes more delightful too. But I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's seeing a crank on. For my dad, it would be like the crank on how the tractor works. I don't know, right? What's it for you? So Yvonne, one aha, one inspired action.
Seeing the beauty in everything and knowing that love is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Beautiful, beautifully put. So what's your action? So this actually does something.
I will also sit down and write about my ideal listener.
Yay. I'm so glad coming back there from what we did last time in Loving a Kindness series. You guys got it. Now I know you got it. Thank you. Sergio.
Seeing the beauty in everything and in everyone.
Yeah. Beautifully put. Everything, everyone. I was not seeing it in my daughter in that moment, to my own pain. And if I don't see it in her in that moment, what's going to happen when I walk into the room with somebody else? I love my daughter. She's amazing. Something in me needs to make a switch. Yeah. Can I do that and have that more and more of a habit, more and more of the time? Come back there more quickly. What's your inspired action?
The Vipassana meditation now.
Yeah, it's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to do. This aligns really beautifully with what we're talking about here. Thank you, Sergio. Donna, are you in a place where you can speak?
Hi, I think so.
Yeah, yes, we can hear you.
I'm struggling with audio or video. I'm now in my son's house. I apologize for signing on late.
Let all that go.
I'm just a work in progress. I'm just a work in progress. Every time I go out and I speak with people, I get a little bit clearer on how I'm speaking by virtue of what their response is. I sat with a client yesterday, got a retainer. I got some business to do.
Yes.
I had to listen. I had to just shut up and listen and not bring my agenda to the table, even though I'm being ridden hard by his family. And I get to respect his the confidentiality that he and I have, and I get to imply that to his family that I don't need to share with them that which he chooses to share with me, and that they have to learn to trust that I have his best interests at heart. So it's not that I haven't done this before, it's just been a long time in this particular venue. So
I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to pause you just for a second, and I can't speak when you're speaking because it echoes. And the reason I want to pause you is that one of the things I heard there is I'm the gentleness towards self. I'm a work in progress, but I'm actually making it. I've got a new client, and we found a place that resonates, and I'm happy about that. That's beautiful. And that resonates very deeply with what we've been doing here. So Donna, just tell us in a sentence, we gotta close here quickly, but in a sentence, what's your inspired action? How are you gonna bring this out into the world? I'm gonna unmute you now again.
I have no clue. Ask me next week. I'm still processing, sorry. My inspired action is to continue to work with the client.
That's where
I'm at.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna mute you again. Because we're getting that echo, I don't know if you guys are too. So thank you, Donna. So keep doing the work, keep taking the steps, keep taking the action, and whatever. And I would add as well, if you're still processing this, then I would encourage you to go and post on Facebook forum. I don't know my aha. I don't know what my action is going to be, but I'm going to post an aha in the Facebook forum, because that moves something out into the world, into the community, into our lives. So we know it's not just sitting here as ideas, but like at the university sometimes happens, but really moving our world. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being here on July 4th. Happy Independence Day. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And yes, could you, Yvonne, please. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you for practical applications. Make sure you register for Story Freedom. Make sure you go post your questions over in the practical applications forum. I will see you next week when I am just back from Salt Lake City. I'll be back, just back from there with all kinds of new thoughts to share. Have a great idea. Great week, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.